Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar. My plantation sugar, my plantation sugar, my plantation sugar. Ah, plantain, plantain, plantain.
We starting already?
This dickhead.
I'll begin the conversation. Let's go.
Oh, this is a general pod, so I'm starting with the general.
I don't care. We're breaking the rules.
See, here's the thing about doing weird shit. Everyone has to be in on it. Okay? I'm not here to fucking freestyle with you. I'm here to record a pod. What are we doing?
Can we please keep this in? This is really funny.
We're talking about
what
about
are we Aussie doing men. Right now? I didn't come here for this on seriousness.
We're talking about Aussie men.
Oh, God, I don't want to talk about this nigga. Anyway, right. I don't want him at Arsenal. It's essentially an aesthetic consideration.
Sure.
Hello, folks. This is the Shirtless Plantain Show, the weekend review edition. It's Dean here with my co-host. This time we brought Mitch with us. And of course, Coach, as always. Hi, Mitch.
Hi. It's probably a good thing that you brought me with you for this one, because I think you're going to need like a little bit of just like extra pep, because we're recording this right after.
Shut the fuck up, boy.
Okay.
You! Speak now!
Well, I'm carrying a cold, so I'm going to try my best to help as much as I can. But yeah.
You got a cold watching West Ham?
No, I've had it since like Friday evening, to be honest.
Yeah, that's tough. Yeah. That's tough. Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I'm sadder than I let on, man. I'm sad. I wish we won that shit. I wish we really won that shit. It would have been nice to scam a Nations Cup. We never did that before.
Yeah, the deflation I'm feeling right now. I know it asks for much from you listeners, but like generally, guys, it would just be nice if you guys can just, you know, pray for me. Pray for all of us, really, because I'll be frank, this is an easy recording right now. Like, I just really want to go to sleep, to be honest. Like, that's the bottom line for me.
I wasn't sure what's going to happen. I really wasn't sure what's going to happen. But we're here. We're here, and we're recording. Let's just get into it. I think the more we talk about different shit, the better we'll feel. So we start in the Bundesliga with what was essentially the game of the weekend, guys. Yeah. Leverkusen hosted Bayern. Coach and I have been hyping this game up for weeks now.
We actually highlighted it in our calendar. Do you remember? I think in November, we were like, this is the game. If Bayern are going to lose it, this will be the game.
Correct. Yeah. And these motherfuckers are going invincible. Mitch, you watched this. What did you think?
I was so fucking impressed. I have been hearing everyone sing the praises of Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen the entire season. I have not actually watched them at all until this weekend. And my God, they were so impressive. I mean, I think just from the get-go, if you're going to make Bayern Munich shit their pants before the game starts and change their tactics, granted, Thomas Tuchel, the three at the back's been calling to him all season, and he finally submitted to it. But if you're going to make Bayern Munich change for you, I think that says a lot to what kind of team that you are and how you are respected as a team. Xabi Alonso has garnered a lot of respect from Bayern Munich, and oh boy, was it repaid, because they were fucking terrible. Leverkusen played them off the fucking field. It was outstanding.
Yeah. Do you know what it was? It felt like you've been small boyed, basically. Like, it was, you're going to play three at the back against the three at the back team. Like, are you taking the piss? Like, you know, I said at the beginning, and Dean and Tussin were looking at me crazy, like, what do you mean they both shit their pants? I was like, just look at it, right? Two curls gone to three at the back, and he started Stanisic's right wing back and moved Teo further forward. Now, of course, the game didn't go the way I expected it to, but he still showed a bit of respect to Bayern Munich with that change and the fact that Frimpong was on the bench. Thomas Tuchel, I genuinely think at this point, he's been shit longer than he's been good. That's what it feels like. There was nothing Bayern did. Put it, if you've got Harry Kane and Leroy Sané in your team, and they have a combined, I think, in the first half, a combined maybe 15 touches between them or something like that.
Kane had 7 for sure. I mean, that's a fact. He had 7.
But there we go. That tells me that's not a personal issue. That's a coaching issue, because those are really good players. So there's nothing there to discuss. On the flip side, though, you look at Xabi Alonso and what he's been able to do with this team, what he's been able to get out even more out of Xhaka. Xhaka pretty much played yesterday's game, I feel like, in second or third gear. Despite him playing quite well, he didn't look like he was stressed at any moment. He was just popping passes around the corner whenever he felt like. He was breaking forward whenever he felt like. He was always an option. Put it like this, there's nothing that's going to save Tuchel from Bayern firing him at the end of the season, even if they do win it, because of how badly they looked yesterday, basically. Like, Thomas Muller basically put a hit out for him. I'm so sure of it.
Let's go deeper into that, Mitch. Generally, when a German is that angry in public, it doesn't go well for the world.
Yeah.
How scared were you as the white expert on the pod?
I mean, are we sure that that's just not how he? I think he's just speaking German. I think that's just how it works, right? Like, was he even angry? That seemed pretty calm to me.
It's an aggressive language.
All I'll say is I feel like Julian Nagelsmann was fired for less than what Thomas Tuchel is scamming the shit out of Bayern Munich right now.
And he didn't Harry Kane.
Yeah, this is a better Bayern team. This is a way better Bayern team. You have one of the best strikers in the world on your team. And you have Sané playing so well. You have Musiala. Musiala was nowhere to be found yesterday.
Oh, good.
Vertz played him off the field. I'm sorry, I shouldn't be talking up the white man. but Vertz was showing levels to him yesterday. He was so impressive in how he kept Leverkusen ticking and how they played. I think Manuel Neuer is a fucking psychopath, because, like, what the fuck are you doing going up for that corner? You're down 2-0. None of that matters. None of that matters.
He's just got CT.
It's Bayern. That was him retrieving some pride, even though it backfired. I feel like that's the kind of shit Bayern does. Like, hey, you might have small boyed us, but we're still Bayern. We're still going to pull our goalkeeper at 2-0 when it doesn't matter, because, you know, what the fuck? Who cares? Then they got embarrassed again.
I will say, though, that goal, right, pretty much, I think, from just after halftime, I called it. I was just like, Frimpong is going to ice the game in transition, because when a coach and when a team is playing so well and have coached it almost so perfectly, you can almost see what's going to happen next. That's how well Xabi Alonso, you know, he coaches. It was such an obvious thing that Bayern are going to chase the game, and guess what? They're going to bring on the best wing back in Europe this season to ice the game. What's funny is that the guy on the other side has now got double figures in goals and assists for the season, and he has quite literally never scored a bad goal in his life, ever.
Yeah. You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Coach, because even the first goal,
yeah,
Bayer Leverkusen literally scored that exact same Stanisic goal against Darmstadt last weekend.
Mm-hmm. And there was another
goal. They scored it all season.
Yeah, there was another goal by Frimpong as well, where it was a low cross. It was pretty much the same move again. When you talk about having relationships on the pitch, we're probably going to talk about this a little bit more in the Premier League, but relationships on the pitch, to me, are way more important than the system. And I'll explain a little bit more why later on. But this is an example of it. He's a nerd coach, but I think he understands how organic relationships should work, and it absolutely killed Bayern yesterday. Absolutely killed them.
Mitch, how many Spurs can you add to a squad before they become Spursy?
I really think that there's only one, and his name is Eric Dier. like adding Eric Dier to what is a very, very good Bayern team is just will always strike me as a weird and strange and misguided decision that I don't understand. And it was all because Harry Kane just like, oh, I want a buddy here. And they and he was available because he's bad.
Is that such a bad thing, though? Harry deserves friends.
100%. Harry, bring your friends. Don't start them in this game. No, like what? I will say it felt very vindicating to me watching Eric Dier play yesterday and him be just as bad as I think he is. Because Bayern's all of a sudden buying him, and I'm like, oh, am I just like wrong about Eric Dier? Like, just like
these, No.
The end of my sentence is no, I'm not. I feel very vindicated. He's shit. Like
the funniest scene in that game, there was a sequence where Bayern actually had the ball. They were 2-0 down at this point, and Leverkusen kept letting the ball land on Eric Dier's feet. He kept crossing into their box, and they kept clearing it, and it happened like 3 times in a row. Then I think Tuku had to stop the sequence by like trying to get a sub at a throne or some shit. It was a disaster. Like, well, before we move on, I think it's safe to assume that Xabi Alonso is going to leave Leverkusen, no matter what they achieve this season. Yeah. I feel like they're going to be in too much demand to not leave. Am I tripping with that, you think?
So I think I'm scared that Liverpool are going to offer stupid money, basically. And Real Madrid are going to be like, you know, we're fine with Ancelotti for at least another season.
Right.
And that's going to annoy me because go on.
We're moving fast here. I feel like his most likely employer after yesterday is Mitch.
Bayern.
Yeah.
Who do you think is more likely, Bayern or Liverpool?
I honestly think Liverpool. Yeah. And I think, you know, he had such an illustrious career where he there's so many different clubs where he has like
ties to
where he played there. Played at Bayern, played at Real, played at Liverpool. Like, these are all fucking premier potential coaching destinations for this offseason. But I do think that if he manages to win the league with Bayer Leverkusen, and because we can't be underscoring how big of an achievement that would be. This is a team that's been, like, historically a good Bundesliga team, but they've never won the title. And if he manages to do that, I think that it would be a real spit in the face to the fans, even if he does have a connection to Bayern Munich, to go to Bayern after winning the title there.
Listen, man, like, God bless Leverkusen, and I'm rooting for them. I want them to do this. I remember all those years that Michael Ballack was carrying a team and failing at the last hurdle. That hurt my feelings too. But nobody gives a fuck about Leverkusen. It's like 12 fans and shit, man. Like, even in Germany, like, everyone would understand it. It would be fine. Like, coach, which one is the best job? If you're ranking the 3 jobs, Real Madrid, Liverpool, Bayern Munich. Which one is the best job right now?
Most definitely Real Madrid. It's not even
hands down.
Forget the everything we know about them and how ruthless they can be, and especially the fans, especially from the fans. You're managing fucking Real Madrid, bro. Like, even if you're looking at it from not just historically, from what's happening today, you go through their entire team, and they're literally just an Mbappe and a new goalkeeper away from having literally the best squad in the world again, pretty much.
That's crazy. They're going to do all that to lose to Arsenal.
Yes. So
between Bayern and Liverpool, which one are you taking as a coach?
Bayern and Liverpool? Oh, do you know what? Genuinely, I'm taking Liverpool because...
Same.
All due respect, and I watch a lot of Bundesliga, and it is fun, but managing Bayern to me is like... Imagine to me is like you worked hard your entire life and now you get to literally have the best paying job with pretty much the least risk, basically. You're gonna get bored super quick.
You're the CEO of Coca-Cola.
It's also
like the most backlash that you can get from a job with like the least praise, because your bare minimum is win the league. Yeah. You don't do that, you're a terrible coach. Yeah. Your bare minimum is semifinals of the Champions League. You don't do that, you're a terrible coach. And then if you do those things, you win the league or you make semifinals of the Champions League, it's like, yeah, you're Bayern. You're supposed to do that. That's what you're supposed to do. Like, what did you want a fucking gold star for doing that? Like, what?
This is why we have to admit that Pep is the best, because he takes on those expectations and he still wins.
Yeah.
No, I'm cheat, not.
But he wins. You know.
I'm not going to do that. Sorry.
I will.
There is no goat coach. They're just great coaches. How about that?
Yeah, that's the actual answer. There is no goat of anything. Let's be honest, people. Yeah. But that's a different topic for a different day. Let's run through the rest of the Bundesliga before we head out of here. Dortmund beat Freiburg 3-0. Daniel Malen with a brace. It's a good game every 2 months, it feels like. And Füllkrug got the cherry on top. Anyone watch this one?
I saw bits, and it's what I'm talking about. Like, Sancho missing chances again. Like,
hey, at least he's playing, okay?
Yeah. That's fair.
Baby steps. Augsburg hosted Leipzig, and the Leipzig man with this inconsistency this season. Mitch, did you see this? You seem upset.
I'm upset about one thing with this game, and it's nothing to do with the game. It's just, I think that the kit that Leipzig are wearing in this game, they look like fucking training kits. Like, they look like they're doing a scrimmage, and it's like, I don't know why they look like that, but for whatever reason, I saw them, and I'm like, you look like you're scrimmaging, look like a professional. What are we doing?
It's their sponsored brand energy drink, okay? Like, you can't expect much from them. This is normal behavior for them. No matter who does their designs, Nike, whoever, it just ends up looking weird. In any event, they drew the game against Augsburg 2-2. Augsburg seems to be a tough out for everyone this season, even though they're like 11th in the table. Their goal came from Demirovic, and Openda and Šeško got the goals for Leipzig. Which is pretty good. That's coach's favorite thing, when strikers score for a team. Both their strikers. Stuttgart 3, Mainz 1, Dennis Undav again. This fine run of form he's got going is great. Grassi's back around. He played a little bit. And Mahmoud Dahoud, on loan from Brighton at Stuttgart, also played this weekend. And that is us done in the Bundesliga.
Well, real quick, before we move on, I know you guys, we don't talk about the second division. But
okay, the second division, never coming back. You're never coming back.
All I want to point out is that there's a Hamburg title race in the second Bundesliga. St. Pauli's in first and HSV is in second. It's a big rivalry, and they're in a title race. I just think it's very exciting. I want to let the people know.
We do not care, Mitch.
All right.
The standings in Bundesliga, Leverkusen have opened up a 5-point gap. They now have 55 points. Bayern has 50. Stuttgart are 7 behind on 43. Dortmund on 40. And Leipzig on 37. That's embarrassingly low, Leipzig. I don't know why I expect so much from them. I don't know why. You know, we should. They look like a good team on paper. They should be better than they are. And on we go to La Liga. And we start in the obvious place, the top of the table clash. Real Madrid 4, Girona 0. Coach, what did you see?
They're peaking at the right time without like half their team. Vinicius Junior has that star quality to essentially carry them for the rest of the season. The fact that he's been injured for so long and now he's back now. He's got it all. Like, he's definitely got the minerals, but also on top of that, they seem to. We thought Jude Bellingham might have been slowing down a little bit. All he needed was just a little 5'4" Brazilian, you know, to help charge his batteries again. And now he seems to be back again. I'm loving the fact that we don't know what this centre-back partnership is going to be on a day-to-day basis with Real Madrid. It's really fucking fun.
Yeah, the fact that Carvajal and Tchouaméni were the starting centre-backs in this game and managed to, I don't think I saw them the entire game. Like, they weren't really challenged at all. Girona was entirely outclassed. I think that this little underdog story, in air quotes, is kind of crumbling a little bit, unfortunately. I think that it is kind of a cool story, except for the fact that they're owned by City Football Group, where it's like, oh, okay, well, they're not really the underdogs, are they? And Real Madrid looked like Real Madrid in this game and absolutely fucked them up. It was not close. This was on my laptop screen while I had the actual good game and the Leverkusen game on my TV. And I was like, look down, I'm like, oh, Real scored again. Oh, Jude did stuff. All right, cool. Nice. Good job, guys.
Yeah, it was a total outclassing, I think. I tweeted this during the game, but the 11 best players showed the other 11 players that they weren't as good as them. Basically, was what happened. It wasn't really close. they didn't look like they were in the same league, really. Coach, with no center backs, mm-hmm. a missing goalkeeper, and a swath of injuries, if Carlo, because we've always kind of rated Carlo for winning cups, mm-hmm. leagues have never really been his theme, but if he wins La Liga this season, where do you rank this with his coaching achievements?
It's definitely up there with the time he spent at Everton, for sure. Who the fuck is a job at Everton, man? That's why he's better than Pep. He's a job at Everton. But no, seriously, this will be one of his crowning achievements, because yeah, he's got a great, great squad, but mostly all of his best players, yeah, are literally outside of Cruz and Modric, all of his best players are all under 24, 23 years old. That's the reality of it. These are young boys that he's doing it with. Like, yeah, you know, Cruz especially is playing a ton of minutes and whatnot, but even the team that played yesterday, look, Valverde, Camavinga, Bellingham, Rodrigo, and Vinicius Jr. have an average age, I think, about 22. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's five of your front six. So he's just, yeah, they're freaks of nature, I get it, but he's doing an amazing job. Like, there's no other way to put it, especially with the fact that, you know, Girona looked to be the miracle team. He's like, nah, fuck that. No one's putting a miracle on my head top this season. We're going to win this shit regardless. So,
also, yeah. I feel like sometimes I just forget that Jude Bellingham is 20 years old.
Just like, turned 20 years old. He's literally like, he was 19 this time last year.
Like, he was born in 2003. Yeah. Like that, and he's just doing this for Real Madrid. It just looks like just a fucking natural in one of the most high pressure jerseys to wear in the world. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, I'm him. I'm just doing this. Like, yeah. Unbelievable achievement to like look this good as a 20-year-old playing for Real Madrid.
Do you think when he talks to Ancelotti calls him big bro? He's such an uncle. It's crazy. But yeah, 5 points clear. Real Madrid 4-0 over Girona. You are not our mates. Running through some other games before we get to Barcelona here. Cadiz, Jose Real Betis. Nice controlled away win from Real Betis. Goes from William Jose. He of the David Luiz penalty a lifetime ago. Away to
assist for the first goal by Johnny Soccer. Let's go.
Oh, good stuff. Good PSA. Yes, I'm glad you mentioned that because I edited it out of my notes. and Pablo Fornaro's got the second goal, him recently at West Ham, which we will get to briefly in a little bit again later.
You know, that's hilarious about his leaving video is that I didn't realize he was that much of a West Ham legend, if you like. He probably did like a leave. I'm like, it's only fucking Fornaro. He's only been there for like 5 years. Come on, man. No,
he did some shit, though. He did some shit. Yeah. He won a trophy. That's big. That's big for West Ham. That's why Declan Rice is your best player ever. Fuck a Bobby War. What the fuck? I don't care. I don't care about no 66 World Cup ass bitches. Anyway, Sevilla hosted Atletico Madrid. And you won't believe this, guys, but Sevilla beat a good team. 1-0. Romero scored in the 15th. And Alvaro Morata had a pretty bad looking knee injury. But after the game, the reports are that he should only be gone for about a month maximum. So that's good because people thought it was an ACL from the way it looked. But basically, Atletico considered that goal early and couldn't do a thing about it, which is crazy. Real Sociedad, coach, you have to explain what's going on, man. They just lost at home to Osasuna. They have PSG in the midweek. This is unacceptable, coach. What's going on? This is your team.
Hey, Champions League back this week.
We'll get there. Yes.
Good Lord. What the hell?
Do you not check the agenda that I send out before these meetings?
Of course I do, but I just I just love my life, bro. Have some respect.
What's going on, man? What's going on with Sociedad?
Okay. So I think we're unsettling them with the Zubimendi rumors. I'm sorry. That's my best answer at this point. Because to my mind, they don't really have any major, super major injuries and stuff. They just...
Kieran Tierney? No?
Yeah, Kieran Tierney's their best player. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, guys, let's be real. But no, seriously, there isn't, you know, Umar Sadiq, who missed the AFCON because obviously he was injured. He literally played the next game. Like, they have options. I just think they're just underperforming. They've hit a different form, man.
Honestly, watching the highlights from this game kind of reminded me of Arsenal in December. They created good chances they should have scored from.
Inform. That's my explanation. It's just
and they picked the wrong fucking time because they had PSG on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Anywho, Osasuna 1, Real Sociedad 0 at Real Sociedad. That's crazy. And in the final game this week, this was happening right as Nigeria was hurting my feelings. Barcelona drew at home to Granada 3-3. Did anyone else catch any highlights or anything?
I just know that they're still doing child labor. Yamal scored 2 goals, right? Yeah, and they had to like come back for to get this draw. But it's crazy that they're just like starting a 16-year-old every game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they pulled all the levers and all the old dudes are messing up. I mean, like, they almost scored a classic Barcelona goal today. It was so beautiful the way they set that up. It started with Yamal. He hit a crossfield pass to Pedri, I believe. Mm-hmm. Pedri attracts 2 people, hits a back heel to the overlapping runner. Gundogan crosses it to Lewandowski to just tap into the net, and this fucker taps it into an opposing player. You know, and that just encapsulates the entire season because they can't defend and they're finishing the shit. That's a bad combination for any team. Ter Stegen came back from injury, so that's good. And they generally played well in the first half because my way of sort of not committing fully to Nigeria versus Cote d'Ivoire was watching this out of my side eye. Barcelona looked good in the first half. But they started Pau Cubarsí, Inigo Martinez, and Andreas Christensen as the DM in front of them. So it's not surprising that they would go through something like this. They're bad structurally, but personnel wise, some of these players that are playing right now, like Paul Kubarsky is a teenager from La Masia. Like, he made a bad mistake today. Jules Koundé is not that good. It's just bad there, man.
I really wish, yeah, genuinely, that we could play them in the Champions League.
They won't make it that far.
I know.
They're a bad team. Like Xavi said, oh, me leaving should help reduce the pressure. It's not the pressure. Yeah. It's that they're trash.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that, like, now they are leaning on La Masia to create a good team, which is, like, you're Barcelona. You should be doing this all the time. You have the best academy. You should always do this.
They haven't had the best academy for a while, to be fair. Historically, it's been a thing, but...
Like, I'm looking at their transfer market of, like that. It was it summer 22 when they were, like, pulling all these levers and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you look back at that transfer window, and it's like they brought in Frank Kessie. They brought in Lewandowski, who was – how can we classify Lewandowski as a transfer for Barcelona? Because I feel like he's been, like, very hit or miss for them. Jules Koundé, who was decent, and then Rafinha has been up and down. Where it's like – This was not worth spending 158 million euros on this. When you had like all of these like younger guys coming through the ranks that you're able to integrate into your team. Granted, they're leaning on him maybe a little too much sometimes because I don't know if Pedri exists anymore. I think he might be dead. I haven't heard his name in a minute. He's played so many matches that I think he's just dead now. So I don't know. I don't know what you do if you're Barcelona.
Yeah, coach, what do they do? To fix this, and don't say no clever shit. I'm not able to laugh anymore.
They've got to find a way to sell Yamal. I'm sorry, because that if they're gonna do it legally, they need to sell, and Yamal's clearly gonna fetch them a lot of money.
Well, why don't they start with Frankie?
I don't care about that, Arian. I don't. No, you sell Yamal, you sell Pedri. You get some big wage off your books like Lewandowski and whatnot, and then you just have to accept for probably the next 5, maybe even longer years.
I think you sell everybody but Pedri. You don't sell Pedri. I don't give a fuck what's going on there. Don't do that. Like,
I'm not being funny, but Barcelona don't deserve nice things. If they want to stay afloat and not be punished even more, sell everything and just accept you're going to be shit for a long time, and then this will be a lesson for future presidents and whatnot, not to spend what you don't have.
I can tell you right now what they're going to do. They're not going to do any of that shit. And they're going to try to push the Super League more. They're going to be like, it's still a thing. Guys, we got Anderlecht. They're in. Everybody's here. Like, this is going to be the new premier competition, guys.
Yeah, they're going to double down on stupid, man. The standings in La Liga, Real Madrid are top with 61 points. Girona, the little choo-choo that tried, are 5 points behind on 56. Barcelona are further 4 points behind on 51 points. Atletico Madrid jumped to third a couple of weeks ago, but they immediately started finding their place again because they're back in fourth on 48 points. Athletic Bilbao have 45 points, and Real Betis have 38 points. Real Sociedad have fallen out the top six, coach. Should do something about that.
Well, I'm not being funny. I think they're going to do PSG in the first leg. I think so. I'm putting it out there. Go on.
I will say I'm pretty close to adopting Betis as my Spanish team just because the aesthetics of that team are just phenomenal. You know, you got a lot of old ballers. You got Hector. You got Johnny Cardoza. You got Isco. Like, you got a squad there. Dean, and you got Dean, the Kappa jerseys. Kappa jerseys are just an immediate aesthetic, you know?
Dean, he's adopting heritage because generally, if you know about Real Betis, you know about Real Betis. That's all I'll say. Those who know, they know.
So. Indeed, they do. That's enough of fucking Spain now. I'm tired of you motherfuckers. Oh, real quick before we leave, the Granada did have a great day. We just kind of talked over them because Barcelona are such a fucking mess. Yeah. But their great day was powered by ex-Manchester United and ex-Arsenal in the form of Facundo Pellistri. I think he's on loan from United right now. Yes. I think if they sold him. Don't care. And Ignacio Miguel from Arsenal.
Oh, my God.
You guys remember that central defender?
Longo gave him his debut. I do remember in like 13, 14.
Yeah. He was so fucking soft.
Yeah.
Tall, but very soft. Over to Serie A, guys. The game of the week there was Roma hosting Inter Milan. It ended 4-2 to Inter. Who watched this one?
I know you did because you're an Inter fan.
Indeed, I did. And it was a hell of a game. Hell of a game. Inter started pretty slowly. Yeah, they started slowly. They just happened to score the first goal in the game, which can happen. Or should it be from a corner? Then Roma woke up, and they actually converted some of their chances. Great goal from a set piece from Mancini.
Yep.
And a second goal on the corner from El Shaarawy, who I keep forgetting that he still plays football. Like, he's been around for so long. Yeah. And he still has the same haircut, guys, which is crazy.
That's why he literally never reached the height he should have, because he never got rid of that shit. Everybody knows that haircut, it only goes when you're a teenager. The moment you hit your 20s and your 30s, let it go. Or else you're gonna keep playing like a teenager for the rest of your career. That's it. Those are the rules.
It's crazy to think about the fact that a man with that haircut is probably like a father, like two, three times over.
Right.
Every football player has kids.
You got like an edgy mohawk, and it's just always been his look. It's like, you can't evolve at all, man. Like, you can't change your look at all. All right, cool.
The second half of this game started, and Inter actually woke up because Marcus Thuram decided to assert his physical dominance. He scored one goal and essentially forced us an own goal from Angelino before Bastoni wrapped it up late in the game on the counter. Juventus face Udinese on Monday, as today when you're hearing this, I believe, and they'll have a chance to cut the gap at the top of the table from 7 points to 4. They probably will, I'm guessing. The other game we want to talk about in Serie A is Bologna hosted Lecce, another great Joshua Zirkzee performance. I'm only here for the propaganda. I want him at the Arsenal, but he didn't score today, so coach is still right. And actually, this isn't the last game. Genoa hosted Atalanta. Charles de Ketelaere keeps scoring goals. I'm really happy for him because that Milan move was looking bad last season. Mm-hmm. Malinovsky, formerly of Atalanta, got the equalizer for Genoa, but Tion Koopmeiners scored 4 minutes after that, and Zappacosta and El Bilal Touré put some gloss on the scoreline. And in the final game we're going to talk about in Serie A this weekend, did any of us watch Milan hosting Napoli?
I did. I had it on the TV during AFCON. I was watching both.
Yeah, that's incredible. But I saw Hernandez's goal, and that ball from Leao has me. I'm noticing a lot with that pass.
I'm gonna be how Dean is with Osimhen, with you with Leao, because I don't think I really see it. I think that.
No. I'm not saying I want him at Arsenal. I'm just saying. Okay. I understand why people do. Don't get me wrong. If Arsenal signed him tomorrow, I'd be over the moon. I just don't think he's. I don't put it like this. The profile of winger. If we had two Martinellis on the wing, I'd be like, yes, sign a player like Leao. But we only have one Martinelli, so that's why I wouldn't sign a player like Leao. But he's absolutely fantastic.
so, I I'm not discounting that Rafael Leão is not a good player. He 100% is. He has those moments of brilliance, like in that pass to Teo Hernandez for that opening goal. But I also feel like there's too many moments where he slows the game down, or he'll have a bad pass in transition where it's just like, I think he tries to do too much sometimes when Milan does have a good team around him. Like, he does not have to play hero ball, but sometimes it feels like he's trying to do that. And sometimes it creates goals like that. Other times I feel like he will not allow really good chances to be scored. Like, Milan almost dropped points in this game. They scored that opening goal. They were solid. But Napoli had control of the game for the most part. And then had Milan had two or three really, really good chances to put the game away, and they did not do that. It almost blew up in their faces when Napoli, or I guess Milan, hit their own post on an attempted clearance, and they got very lucky to not be hit with a crazy own goal in the 88th minute and drop points in this game. I can't say I was super impressed by Napoli. I think Kvaratskhelia had...
No, man, I'm sorry, they are.
Yeah. Kvaratskhelia had like a couple good moments where he was able to beat his man really effectively. I think Milan's center backs are dog shit, and he was just eating them for lunch. But it was for the most part pretty boring game. There wasn't all that much.
Serie A for you sometimes. The standings briefly: Inter 60 points top, Juventus 7 points behind, Milan a further 1 point behind Juventus, but they have one game over Juventus. Juventus again play tomorrow against Udinese. Atalanta in fourth on 42 points. Bologna in fifth on 39 points. And that is Serie A. Now we head over to France, to Ligue 1. And of course, we start at the Parc des Princes. PSG 3, Lille 1. Coach, take it away.
PSG are gearing up for life without Enfield. And I looked at the team. I need to ask you guys a question, actually. Are you guys a fan of the 4-1-4-1?
No.
You're not?
No.
Dean?
I mean, I don't, I mean, it depends on what I have, you know. I might be a fan.
I mean, I love them regardless.
But generally, I don't want one man doing that much horizontal running.
Put it like this. I am a huge fan of it only because of one particular season I saw Arsenal play it, and I was like, it fucking works. But bearing in mind, we had Ozil and Ramsey in the two ahead of, in the same line as Walcott and Cazorla. So I was like, okay, this really fucking works. But basically, PSG land up in a, I want to say, a similar-ish way, with a nigga named Randall and Dembele on the wings. And it works. You know, you've got out on that number nine there. Ugarte is the one. He's a one-man midfield, but he's just that his vertical passing is pretty shit. But everything else, he's fine at, kind of thing. That works for PSG, and that's a solution to play again this season without Mbappe, basically. But for next season, they need to be targeting players to be able to play that system. I think Enrique has actually found something that actually does work. He's been doing a lot of tinkering. Lille didn't have much for them. PSG essentially won because they had better players. But for sure, like, I'm liking that shape, and I think there's a lot more to come from PSG if they sign another striker for sure, and probably get some help at left back, I think. But yeah, good performance overall, I think.
Yeah, I thought Lille gave them the game, bro.
They're better than them.
So that 8-minute period where Alexandro, the left center back for Lille, he scored an own goal, and he also just, the goal Gonzalo Ramos scored, he basically just passed it to PSG for them to score that goal. You know, and without that period, I don't know that I'm that impressed with this system, especially not with how wasteful their wingers were in this game. I felt like, I don't know. Lille just gave it to them, bro. Like, I think your Sociedad bet is going to pan out, coach. That's how I feel right now, to be honest. Yeah, that's how I feel right now. Mitch, did you catch this game at all?
No, but I do have a question about it. Did Bradley Barcola play?
He came on.
Because I watched a PSG game a couple weeks ago, and I was really impressed with him against Lens. I'm just curious, like, if he played in this
system. Barcola is always good. Like, he's quite literally,
he's
always good. But guess who's on the bench? I didn't know he signed for him. Guess who's on the bench for Lille? I had no idea he actually played for them. Anyone?
Oh, no.
Nemanja Matic.
No, Vitor Minone.
Oh, shit.
I know, right? I know.
Ex-Arsenal goalkeeper.
Yeah. A legend in the Champions League of that kung fu kick he tried that time.
Listen, Lil Zagrova, what do you think of him, the winger?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of talk about, you know, him being one of the hottest properties. You know, like I saw a very good stat like towards the end of last year around November about him completing like the most take-ons and shit like that. That's all well and good, and Lil are a talent factory for these types of players. But I have to say, personally, I'm not that impressed. I'm more impressed with some more of that, their younger defensive players. So,
Lenny Yoro is amazing.
Yoro.
I asked you about this Zagrova guy because I was watching him against PSG this weekend. I was like, is that you, Anthony?
Yeah.
This man was just dancing on the ball and not running forward with it. It was so bad. I did not like it at all. I did not like it. Montpellier Lyon. Anyone catch this one?
Unfortunately, I didn't.
Yeah, great come from behind victory for Lyon. I mean, to away to a team that's beneath them in the table in Montpellier. Lacazette scored again, and Maxence Kakere scored as well. Clermont Foot won, Brest won. Stalemates in the Derby de la Fetish, as I call it. The opener came from Clermont Foot in the 50th, and the equalizer, I shit you not, guys, came in the 69th. Nice.
Yeah.
Derby de la Fetish is great.
Speaking of nice, Nice hosted Monaco in an actual derby, the Derby de la Côte d'Azur. Mm-hmm. And Nice won this away to Monaco in September. I am talking about this, and I do not know who actually won this game because it was also happening while Nigeria was losing the Nations Cup final. And it ended 3-2 to Monaco. A red card for Nice in this game. And no one that I care about scored in this game. Dennis Zakaria with 2 goals for Monaco, though. That's crazy. I would not have expected that from him. And Alexander Golovin, we respect him when him and his teammates aren't doing steroids at a World Cup. In any event, that is us done in France.
Yeah.
It's time for the Super League, guys. We start with Man City 2, Everton 0. Who wants it?
I have to say one thing. Braithwaite wasn't bodied. Like, people need to stop saying that.
It was
an unfortunate coming together. He wasn't bodied, and I hate that shit because that's the kind of shit that Haaland will feed off now. He'll eat off it. It's like, brother, you're not that guy, yeah? You're not that guy at all. You just got lucky there because when you had that shit with a real nigga, guess what happened? You end up on your ass. That's right.
This is true. But yeah, this game was yet another argument for those who feel like Arsenal needs a very specific kind of player in their squad. City, they look like City, but they weren't making a lot of progress until they scored from a corner, they being Haaland. Then he got the second one on the break, you know, and he looks like he's back in Terminator mode.
But that's not any different from how Arsenal are operating. Like, we can't break down a low block. Let's do it from set pieces, which we're really fucking good at. And, it just happens to not be our striker. It's our center backs who are scoring from set pieces. Yeah. Like, it doesn't have to be a one-for-one thing. It doesn't have to be, like, I get the, like, we talked about this in the Arsenal pod this morning, but, like, it's the finishing thing. It doesn't have to be just from a striker. Like,
you're spot on.
Guys, what's going on? We'll talk about Arsenal near the end.
Sorry.
Cut this out, coach. Wolves 0, Brentford 2.
Fantasy points. My only disappointment is that I had Sarabria and Cunha and my team. I expected it to be a score draw, but I knew Tony would score. But Tony's also in my team as well, so that's great.
Cunha got hurt, so.
Yeah. So here's the thing with Ivan Tony and just they've mastered, I think, the little man and big man two-man partnership because it wasn't just Tony. It's not just Tony Mope, even though Mope this is second thing at Brentford. They've also done it with Mbeumo as well, and it works so well. All they need is just to keep pumping the ball up to Tony because Tony will keep making shit happen. And they're such a threatening team. Do we have to go to Brentford in the league this year again?
I think that was our 1-0 with Havertz scoring the winner, right?
It was, yes. Oh, thank God, because I don't want to go back to them in this form, honestly. The way, like, he's back now and he's going to keep scoring. Like, he's got a chip on his shoulder. Unfortunately for Wolves, though, Wolves obviously losing, obviously, Cunha. Did anyone know that they signed Lamine's younger brother from PSG, by the way?
Yeah. He looks like the Wario to his brother's Mario.
Yeah, kind of. But apparently, he's a really fucking good winger, and that could be the end that he needs with Cunha not being in the team now. But yeah, I still back Wolves to have a good second half this season. And that's to say as well, Max Kilman, whatever he's listed as in his height, they need to add about another 2 or 3 more inches to it, Paul, because
the Undertaker.
He is flipping. They're saying he's 1.93 meters. That's a lie. He's definitely over 2 meters. Definitely. He's a lump.
We don't know what that means.
Yeah, I don't know what that means. I'm going to search up Max Kilman height.
6'3" is where he's listed.
He's listed as 6'4" on Google.
There we go.
He looks at least 6'8". Bro,
this is what I'm telling you.
He's taller than Osama, man. They should both.
It don't make sense. He's a big dude.
All right, we move on. Fulham 3, Bournemouth 1. There's an American that plays really well at fullback on Fulham. So, Mitch, what did you see?
None of it. Didn't watch the game.
To me, this season, Fulham feel a bit like RB Leipzig. They feel like the English version of RB Leipzig in that they are capable of getting great results. Like this one, 3-1 hosting Bournemouth. That's a good result. Like beating Bournemouth 3-1 at this stage in the season is a good result.
Absolutely.
And they got 2 goals from a striker, which means that they might be closer to replacing Mitrovic finally. Rodrigo Muniz, Brazilian. They tried Carlos Vinicius, the ex-Spurs player, and I don't know if he got hurt or they just got rid of him because he sucked, because I think I saw him in Turkey recently. So I don't know what's going on there. But good for them. Coach, did you see any of this?
No, I tried my best not to watch Fulham games. You took 4 points from us, so yeah. No, I'm joking. No, for real, I didn't actually get to see much of this. But do you think Marco Silva potentially ends up going to like gets an offer from a different team? Or do you reckon he signs a new contract? Because I think he's actually doing a good job. He's probably going to be caught in some interest at some point.
But who'd be interested? I kind of feel like. It's weird because he never really had a moment, but it kind of feels like his moment passed already. He looks like a future Spurs coach for sure.
I think it's hard because I don't think Fulham is ever going to be in a spot well enough where he's like fully able to show what he can do. Like, I mean, like last season they had a top half finish in the first season back up, and like that was really impressive. I think that he's a very impressive manager. I don't know if there's a clear stepping stone from where he's at. Particularly coming up this summer, if like any vacancies potentially open,
I think Brighton lose De Zerbi and they go look for him or someone like him.
That I could see happening.
Yeah,
I feel like Brighton's next manager is someone we don't know yet. Yeah, that's what they do. Well, we did notice De Zerbi though. We knew De Zerbi. You know,
Marco Silva to Liverpool. I don't know if I'd hate it. Like
no.
I feel like it might be too big of a jump.
I was gonna say Liverpool fans will hate it.
Yeah.
He's just not enough of a name for them. And they're not going to accept that shit.
That's fair.
On we move. Spurs 2, Brighton 1. All I have to say from this game is this Van de Ven kid, he's a good defender.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably the best one they have. But he failed the Danny Welbeck test in 2024. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. If an old Ghanaian man is disgracing your young patch, you can't be that good. I mean, we just watched AFCON, okay? Ghana didn't even beat the group. All right, so like I don't know who else watched this one.
Okay, so I watched bits of it. This was probably one of Brighton's worst performances of the season, purely for the fact that I don't remember a chance apart from their goal.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Mitoma was really wasteful. Wasteful in the sense that he wasn't even creating chances.
He scored 3 goals in the last 36 games. Literally, 3 goals in the last 36. He hasn't been doing much at all.
I want to say he left at the Asia Cup, but you know, like Brennan Johnson got a late winner in this one. It didn't feel like Spurs were gonna get a winner in this, but they somehow did anyway. Like, where do we stand on Ange, Mitch? Like, do you still like him?
He's always kind of annoyed me because I feel like if he had a Spanish accent, everyone would hate him as much as Arteta. And I always. My opinion of him will always kind of stem from that Chelsea game where they went down to like 9 men And he was like, I'm still playing a high line. And everyone's like, this is awesome. And it's like, you lost because of it. Like, that was stupid. It was like, like he strikes me as someone who is so wanting to stick to his guns that he comes off as tactically naive when it gets tough. And so I think that they're, because of that, I feel like there's a ceiling for him. Like people were, oh, Spurs are title challengers beginning of the season because they were on a like good run of form. And it's like, yeah, they're better. But like, no, there's clearly a ceiling to what he can do. I could be wrong, but he strikes me as someone who is very too sticks to his guns to be super successful.
Good stuff. But they got the 3 points, as much as we hate it. So good for them. Luton Town hosted Sheffield United, and this one ended 3-1 to the guests, Sheffield United. I can't say I expected this. Coach?
So, Sheffield United are still getting relegated, right? Are we?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, cool. So, there's not really much talk about.
Okay, then I'll ask you this. Is Cameron Archer better than Eddie Nketiah?
No.
I didn't ask you, Mitch. You haven't watched Cameron Archer? I know you haven't watched him.
Let's have a bit of respect. He's not.
Hey, listen, man. I'm liking what I'm seeing from that little motherfucker, man. I'm liking it a lot.
Yeah,
I've been watching him since I was in London in your living room, bro. I was like, this little motherfucker can play. He is nice.
No, joking aside. Like, he's a good player. I actually to be honest, right? Sheffield United actually have 2 strikers that I like, to be fair. But yeah,
don't mention that fucking ginger fuck. I know.
But no. But if Eddie Nketiah leaves Arsenal and he's going to a club that's in the top 10 of the Premier League, let's have some respect there. Like, but don't get me wrong, Cameron Archer, a good player though. Like, definitely a good player. He's got an eye for goal. And he, you know what I mean? He's really got a lot of experience. You know what I mean? Like, he's really been at Villa. He's been at he's been around essentially. So yeah, man. Like, good player.
Liverpool, league leaders, hosted Burnley, and they won 3-1. Good recovery from their drubbing at the Emirates. Mitch, I think I even saw them celebrating.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, Klopp was using his trademark fist pump, which no one's allowed to use. I don't know if you guys heard. Curtis said, we're not allowed to use it. Yep. No one else is. It's his thing. And so, you know, he was exercising his right to having a trademark, and you know, they won the league. And so, you know, congratulations to Liverpool. You guys did it. You guys are going to go out with a bang with Klopp because you won the league. So congrats.
Coach, all 3 of their forwards scored in this game. Do we learn anything from this fact that you like?
No, good. It's a good sign for Liverpool for sure. But the injuries, I'm not liking what I'm seeing with the injuries, man. Like, obviously, we already know the most overrated player of all time, Thiago, is probably never going to play for Liverpool again.
Fuck you too.
but there was no Alisson yesterday. Again, no Salah. I'm even looking at their bench again now. Like, didn't somebody go off injured as well? Sorry, I'm pretty sure someone went off.
Listen, man, they were at home against Burnley. If they were going to give some guys some time off, this was the time to do it, I think.
Fair enough.
And they still won.
Yeah.
And, apparently, Harvey Elliott played well, but it was against Burnley, so I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. Nottingham Forest hosted Newcastle, and Newcastle beat them 3-2. Bruno Guimarães had himself a day, 2 really nice goals. Fabian Schär got the third. Anthony Alanga showed why he's probably the fastest man in the sport with his goal in this game.
Joke.
it was insane, just a
science freak. Like,
yeah, and you know what was sad about it? I was on Twitter when he scored that goal, and no one said anything about pace or power. Like, yeah. I feel like we've gone too far the other way. People are scared now.
Oh my God! So much technique in that goal.
That technique run. It was so technical.
He looked like Usain Bolt.
But yeah, I hate to compliment Bruno Guimarães, but the goals he scored in this game were really beautiful. The finish on that first one, the volley, was just pure beach soccer. And the other one's a long distance shot. Those are always nice.
But you know what's funny about Bruno Guimarães? He's been getting fisted up by some midfielders that you never thought we were able to do it. But like, he's been getting moved about by any and everyone, really.
I think people have figured out that he loses his head easily.
Yeah.
And they're just taking advantage of that. Like, first challenge you get into with him, just like tickle his bum or something, he'll lose his mind.
Generally players that you think he's better than, they've actually been outperforming him when they face up against each other. I think it's been hilarious.
Shame. 2-3 Newcastle there. Aston Villa hosted Manchester United, and this one felt pretty evenly matched before the game happened. You guys all watched it. The United deserve the win.
There's a pod out by the time you guys listen to it. There'll be a pod out by it. So.
Did they deserve to win this one, Coach?
Absolutely not. So here's the thing with United, right? United had their best available front six, right? And Villa didn't, to my mind. And Villa completely played them off the park. I mean, the best way I can describe it is, When you can clearly see a team is doing exactly what they want to do in terms of their attack, but they don't have the finishing touch, this is what's happening. All of their chances was falling to Jacob Ramsey rather than Ollie Watkins. Ollie Watkins had one good clear-cut chance. All the other good chances were falling to him or John McGinn. And it's just like, they're right dead center in the middle of the goal, cut back off the cutback, or like a good run into space, whatever, and it's just not falling to Ollie Watkins. It had one or two of them fallen on Ollie Watkins. Villa win today about 4-1 easily, 4-5-1 easily.
One did rather begin the second half, and Onana saved that.
Yeah,
I think this is probably the best game I've seen Onana play for United.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Which is, I guess, a theme. Mitch, Ten Hag did that thing again where he talks about the games that we're supposed to win, and he was supposed to beat Arsenal. What the fuck is this man's problem?
He's Dutch.
There's a point where I was feeling sorry for him, but you need to stop talking about us, because this tennis, we're not age mates. We're just in this current form.
He's such a bad mind. Like, he's a hater, but like nobody even talking about us, nigga. You just bring us up for no fucking reason and shit, man.
Like, it's so annoying. Like, it's like you kind of make it seem like there's some sort of what do you call it, competition there. Bro, like, I mean this in the most respectful way. I've been in top four races a lot longer than I've cared to be. I know what they look like. That's what you're in, right? You shouldn't even be talking to us because we're trying to win a title.
I was born into top four races.
Yeah. Well, no, I was born into league titles. But yeah.
it's crazy because it's a bit like when, the very common joke / meme where you talk about, I hate when an ugly person calls me twin. That's exactly what's going on here, man.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, we don't know you. Stop talking about us. Like, we don't fucking know you. Like, talk about Liverpool. Like, they gave you 7 last season. Talk about them motherfuckers, man. Like, y'all got more in common with them than us.
Yeah, I like this United team just because I think they're kind of funny. Because, like, Hoyland's legit. Like, he's a good player. Yeah. And great for them that he's coming good. But it's very funny. The best possible player that they could have keep bailing them out of these situations is Scott McTominay, because it brings me enjoyment. Cause like, I don't enjoy United winning. In fact, I hate it, but if it's going to come off of a late winner from the funniest player on their team, I'll take it. Because it's always fun when Scott McTominay scores.
See, United fans, listen to this. This is how people talk about you when you're not a threat, okay? So focus on your top four race and leave us the fuck alone at the top of the table, okay? Leave us alone, I beg. And in the final game this weekend, West Ham hosted Arsenal, and they lost to Arsenal 6-0. There's a pod out about that. Mitch said quite a few things on the pod. So I'm going to throw it to Coach. You were at the game, Coach, which was why you cannot appear on the pod.
Yeah.
What would you, I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the pod yet, but is there anything you'd like to share with us? Share with the class, please.
Yeah. Don't sit next to people that can't keep off their phones and take pictures and videos every time a team scores in the home end, because it makes it quite obvious that you're not a fan of the home team. That's my one advice, especially West Ham.
We did talk about this on the pod, Mitch, about Coach almost getting assaulted.
Yeah.
I'm glad we remembered to talk about that.
Wait, so the people you were with did that? Or other Arsenal fans in the home end that were doing that?
I go to most games, but most away games in general on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So my mates were there, but they were sitting like on the other side of the stadium. But there was basically guys around us that obviously weren't West Ham fans. And like, you know, you score six goals, you're gonna have your phone up quite a lot, like, you know, video and shit. And one guy noticed, he was like, "Oi, mate, you're in the wrong end." And I turned around, I was like, "Hold on a fucking second. I'm looking depressed here, trying to fit in and stuff. Are you talking to me?" I turned around, he's like, he's looking like almost in the opposite direction to me. So I'm like, okay, cool, fair enough. But these guys didn't care, they kept on doing it. But the good thing is there was a fire drill before halftime. There was hardly any fans like left in the stadium by the time the fourth went in, so these guys were free to do what they wanted. But I was at one point, I was scared for them, because anybody who knows anything about West Ham, it's not for their football, it's for other stuff. So I was a bit worried for them. But
they've only made one movie about hooligans about one football club that I know. It's yeah. West Ham, you know. So on the game itself.
I was really quite pleased about the fact that there was a visible, and I mean visible, change in our approach to last week, despite there being the exact same result of complete and utter dominance. You know, Ben White inverting ridiculously well. Kai Havertz actually being involved a lot more in build-up, funnily enough. Trossard getting his shots off whenever he could, right or left foot. There was just an aggressiveness to our game, and Declan Rice didn't actually need to. Okay, so here's the thing, right? A lot of people complain about the fact that we wouldn't be able to potentially score as much or create as much with Declan Rice at the base of our midfield. We've gone away to a team that's beaten us twice this season and scored six, and we could have left with nine, quite easily nine. You know, Martinelli probably should have had a couple himself. I don't know. Nelson could have had one as well late on. It was just an aggressive performance, and I was just really, really pleased with it in general. Who would I give my man of the match to? Probably Odegaard. He was at the heart of everything. I haven't seen the stats from the game, but apparently he got two assists. I cannot remember for the life of me where they came from, but apparently he did.
Second goal.
Okay.
And Trossard.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. But yeah, again, the fact that I didn't even know where this came from, but I thought like he was just unreal. Like he looked like a little tornado. From where I see it, at least, he looked like a little tornado just causing havoc.
Mitch, you get a chance to say one thing that you didn't say on the other pod before we
move on. Dude, I talked for like 40 minutes on that podcast. Like, I don't have anything else to say.
I'm glad you feel that way. Let us move on. But before we do that, there is a table in England, even though it doesn't feel like anything I should be paying attention to right now because my team isn't at the top of it. But Liverpool are still top with 54 points. They've played 24 matches. Manchester City have played 23 matches, so they have a game in hand, but they're on 52 points. Arsenal is in third, also on 52 points. The same goal difference, thanks to today's demolition, which is why I wanted more goals because we've crept ahead of them on the table. Tottenham are fourth on 47 points. Aston Villa, 46 points. Manchester United, 5 points behind Villa on 41 points in sixth position. So it was really important for them to get that win today.
Emery's going to bottle it, isn't he? He's going to bottle it.
100%.
He's going to bottle it.
But they're going to win the Europa League. They're not going to qualify for Europe, but they're going to win the Europa League. That has been my overarching opinion about Villa the entire season. Even when it's like, oh, are they in the title race? No, they aren't. They're fucking Villa.
Respectfully. All right, we're done with England. The Champions League comes back, so we're going to do a quick preview of the games that will be happening this weekend. On Tuesday, Manchester City hosts FC Copenhagen. Mitch, what do you expect to happen in that one?
Probably not a lot of goals for Copenhagen. I don't know.
That's the analysis you need, my friend. RB Leipzig hosts Real Madrid. What happens here?
Sorry, I actually just lost my train of thought there. I'm so sorry. What, the second Champions League fixture again, sir?
RB Leipzig hosts Real Madrid, you prick.
I'm so sorry. Nigeria's still on my mind. I'm so sorry. That's actually a very tough one. I want to go for a score draw, you know, despite Real Madrid being obviously in good form. I want to go for a score draw there.
Yeah, fair enough. Wednesday, PSG hosts Real Sociedad.
Sociedad? Yeah, Sociedad.
All right, cool. And Mitch, Lazio are hosting Bayern. This is a good time to catch Bayern, huh?
Yeah, but hopefully they beat Lazio. So
yeah.
Listen, man, Nazi or no Nazi, if these motherfuckers get rid of Bayern for me, I'm happy. I don't give a fuck. Yeah. And next week, the remaining Champions League ties will happen midweek as well. That'll be PSV versus Dortmund, Inter versus Atleti, Porto versus Arsenal, and Napoli versus Barcelona.
How do you fuck up the one team that you're a fan of?
What's that?
How'd you fuck up the one team name of the team that you support?
It's been a long day, motherfucker. anything else, people?
No.
I love Arsenal. I love Nigeria probably even more than I thought I ever could. We'll be back in Morocco next year, in the next couple, or 18 months, actually. We'll be there. SPS will quite literally be there, in fact.
the Rapids are winning MLS Cup. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, you're definitely not coming back. Like, you're on all the wrong shit, motherfucker. All right, people. Other people, peace.
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 I take my shirt off. Work all day, hustle and pray. Got nowhere to go, got to catch my sugar. My plantation, my plantation, my plantation. Plantain, 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 plantain.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
When something happens to your car, you might say,
"No!" My car!
But what you really need to say is something that can actually help.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And just like that, State Farm is there to help you file your claim right on the State Farm mobile app. So, just remember, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.